35,000 miles in 49 days. Tonight we cover it again in about 9 minutes. While we Baptists are different in many ways, basically we are alike. We are pursued by the same Satan, but thank God, saved by the same Savior. We read the same books, we love the same fellowship of believers, and we live under the same divine command of the Great Commission. I first stopped on this tour with Spain. Spain revealed the condition which exists, unfortunately, in many Roman Catholic countries, namely that our people do not enjoy full religious liberty. In fact, in many instances, it is denied. But even in a land like Spain, where religious liberty is at such a premium, the ratio of baptisms to members is much higher than it is in our own land. Religious persecution and tension have eased considerably in Italy, where the general push for religious liberty has been exerted over a longer period of time. In spite of the tension and danger in the Middle East, our missionaries and Baptist nationals are rendering a heroic service. It was just a few years ago at Richmond when a young man, a volunteer, said, "My wife and I and our two little children are going to one of the troubled spots of the world. We're climbing the ladder and we're counting on Southern Baptists to hold the rope." Little did he know that in a very short time the Middle East would be plunged into war. He and the other missionaries in the Middle East, none of whom are over 37 years of age, stayed by their posts in times of the recent crisis without ever thinking of themselves as being heroes. This was part of the call of God and the opportunity of service. India, where Southern Baptists have not had mission work, has approved Southern Baptists opening medical work in a day when the riots.
The tide of nationalism is causing serious curtailment of mission work. Mission work can be done,
even though anti-American feeling runs high. A missionary in India of another faith, who a short year ago was being jeered in the streets, now enjoys the enviable position of being accepted and loved by the Indians, not only in the mission, but in the city, where he's president of his Rotary Club. Because he loves the people and has identified himself with them. Madam Raj Kumari, the Minister of Religion and Health in India, said, "It is time that we in India started doing our own preaching and ministering to our people. Are you ready?" we asked. "No," she said, "but we must start sometime." Burma, with its over 200,000 Baptists, is a great tribute to the Judsons and the others who follow. They occupy, these missionaries of today and those who've gone on, a place of real respect in Burma. Umi, the Prime Minister of Burma, assured us of a continuation of religious liberty in a land which is bidding to nationalize its religion. It is strange, it is a strange fact, but true, that Baptists have more religious liberty in Buddhist Burma than they have in many Catholic countries. Thailand and Malaya are quite a contrast from Burma. Here missionary endeavor was delayed. Now a century later, we're desperately trying to catch up. Instead of over 200,000 Baptists as in Burma, we have just a few thousand Baptists in these two countries. Indonesia presents a remarkable missionary opportunity, especially to Southern Baptists, who, because of the wise leadership of missionary Buren Johnson, have been able to place 35 missionaries in this challenging country. And weren't we thrilled last night with the appointment of these additional missionaries to Indonesia? Christianity is making giant strides even in the face of two other missionary movements, Islam and communism. The Indonesian government expressed its gratitude
for our missionaries. In Hong Kong, it was our privilege to share in the first Asian Baptist Youth Conference, where 130 young people from 13 Asian countries, all of whom spoke English, were assembled in the first such meeting in history. While they came with fears and suspicions, they went away with love and understanding, having organized the Asian Baptist Youth Fellowship and having determined that they will be a part of the Baptist Fellowship around the world. What a thrill to join hands and sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love," with these fine young leaders from all over the Orient. In Japan, with 11 Baptist bodies doing mission work, one is impressed not only with the high caliber of missionary work, but with the indigenous nature of the work. Our mission board is to be congratulated for this indigenous missionary emphasis. It was interesting to spend the night in the home of a missionary in Japan who made his decision to be a missionary at the Southern Baptist Convention in Miami after hearing Baker James Coffin preach. This pastor was already crowding the age limit and was what we might call settled in his pastorate. But after hearing Baker Coffin preach, he left that pastorate, studied the Japanese language, and we spent the night in his home. It is fitting also that Theron Rankin's memory is enshrined in a Baptist chapel on a Christian campus in the land of the people who once put him in a concentration camp. It was he who used the expression, "the supremacy of the spiritual." The free world lost a great man with the tragic death of President Ramon Magsaysay of the Philippines, to whom we expressed appreciation for the religious liberty which Baptists have in the Philippines. He expressed his desire to see a great Baptist meeting in the Philippines during his lifetime. Missionary Ted Badger in the Philippines, who acted as our host in Manila, was one of many who has gone back to one of the sites of his military experience to witness the Christ. How one's heart ached for Korea, a nation divided and armed to the teeth on either side of the demilitarized zone, a 500-yard strip along the 38th parallel. President Syngman Rhee said, "Please give our eternal gratitude to the families in America whose sons and fathers laid down their lives for our freedom." In spite of the tension which hangs over Korea, Baptist work goes ahead. We can be proud of many of our servicemen who take their places alongside of the missionaries in promoting the cause of Christ. Taiwan, like Korea, is a land of uncertainty and anxiety. In spite of these conditions, our missionaries work right along. One comes back from such a trip with a feeling of frustration. What can we do? But one remembers the words of Jesus who came into such a world as this, saying, "I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel."
Just a moment, setting the mic. With that moment, Dr. Earn declares this part.
"We are happy indeed to have, as the youth leader in our Baptist world, Mr. Robert Denny. In closing, I wish to say a few words about the future. How many of you have got a copy of the Baptist World? That is going to grow. It is unique, and it does not compete with any other Baptist paper. If there is anybody here who has not got a copy, we'd be glad to hand out what we have left up here. Second, we are planning a great World Conference of Baptist Youth, the fifth in order, to be held in 1968 in Toronto, Canada. And Bob Denny is doing a splendid job of preparing for that. 3rd, we are going to have the 10th Baptist World Congress in Rio de Janeiro in 1960. It will be the first time a Baptist World Congress will have been held outside of North America or Europe. Brazil is the most rapidly growing mission field in the world. Latin America presents an unparalleled opportunity today. When we in London 1965 at the Jubilee Congress reported that we had multiplied our numbers by 3.5, in Brazil they had multiplied our numbers by 35, 10 times as rapidly. To start saving your pennies and then start praying, because no place in the world can a Congress have such great missionary meaning as in Brazil.
Thank you, Dr. Aaron. We will take to stop you when you're telling us such an interesting day. We come now to a very interesting part of our program, and to me personally, one of the most delightful experiences of all. During the past 2 years, it has been my privilege to come to know and work with some of the greatest Baptist souls on earth, not Southern Baptists, but those who claim and live so much in common with us. Joy to my heart that several of them have accepted our invitation to come with us and bring us words of greeting tonight. I would like to recognize all of them at the same time, but I don't believe I can do that, so I tried to kindly list them as they came in. Dr. C.B. McDormand, General Secretary Treasurer of the Baptist Federation of Canada. Dr. McDormand, we are delighted to have you with us and to have you bring us greetings from Canada.
Mr. President, fellow Baptists, behold a Canadian Baptist, a fifth generation Canadian Baptist, from an area where Baptist work goes back to 1763. Take a second look. 1,200 Canadian Baptist churches with 136,000 members of the Baptist Federation of Canada greet you all through me tonight. We greet you as fellow members of the Baptist World Alliance, whose present North American Vice President is Mrs. J. Edgar Bates of Hamilton, known to many of you, and one of whose former presidents was Dr. John McNeil of Walmer Road Baptist Church. Our greeting is mingled with deep regret at the tragedy which has struck a large section of the southwestern part of this country as a result of floods and tornadoes. Our sympathy and Christian love is expressed to you in this time of disaster there. Our greeting is from 80% of the Baptists of Canada. The other 20% are made up of two groups, language and ethnic groups, German, Swedish, and other groups, and two or three splinter groups of Baptists who have appeared within the last 25 or 30 years and who are rather hostile to our historic body, and I think would probably be equally hostile to your theology and many things about you. I want to say a few things about Canadian Baptists, not because we want to boast, but because we think you do not know too much about it. For example, when I read in one of your papers not long ago that there were two Baptist churches in Edmonton, I was a little startled because there are 19 Baptist churches in Edmonton, and I felt that if that was typical of the accuracy of references to Canadian Baptists, it was time we put things a bit straight. First, let me remind you that the United States is exactly 12 times as large in population as we are in Canada. Some people in Texas think that the country is 12 times as large, but it's only the population that's 12 times as large. We also have twice as many Roman Catholics in proportion as you have. 43% of our population are Roman Catholics, a great many of them French Roman Catholics. Our Baptist body of under 140,000 is 1/60th, just remember that, 1/60th of that of the Southern Baptist Convention. Yet in 1956, we had 4,494 baptisms, or one for every 31 members. Now, we do not boast of that, but on the same ratio, you would have had something over 300,000 baptisms. So we feel that we are evangelistically alive, if not on a parity with you. We have 133 foreign missionaries. Listen to me about this now. We have one foreign missionary for every 1,000 members of our churches. On that basis, you would have 8,000 instead of 1,200. In the recent report of giving for North America, our people are recorded as giving $51 per capita, and two of our conventions gave more than $70 per capita. In the past 5 years, we have organized 60 new churches. You say that is not very many, but on a ratio, on a proportional basis, you would have to organize 720 new churches per year to maintain a similar rate, and doubtless you do. But I want you to realize that we are alive and active and progressive. We believe in our future. We trust in the power of the Holy Spirit and are in all possible ways endeavoring to be worthy of your fellowship, your confidence, and your cooperation. I want to thank you for passing the resolution you did this morning. I think that it sets up an organization through which we can cooperate with understanding and goodwill and fellowship with our Southern Baptist brethren in the days which are to come. Thank you for this invitation, sir, and God bless you all in your great undertaking for the kingdom of God in this faithful 20th century.
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. We're happy to have you with us. We have next Dr. William C. Tapper, Executive Secretary of the Baptist General Conference of America. Dr. Tapper, come. We haven't any time limit suggested. We tried to figure it by the number that would come. I think we can certainly say 3 or 4 minutes. We're happy to have you, Dr. Tapper.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a delight to be here to represent the Baptist General Conference of America in this fraternal greeting tonight. I am sure of the fact that the vast majority of the messengers here are not acquainted with this Baptist fellowship. We have approximately 85,000 in our Bible school, a great youth work, and some 65,000 members associating themselves in worship and service in about 465 churches. Back in 1852, the mighty banks of the Mississippi River in the prairie town of Rock Island, Illinois. Our first church was organized, so we're not a new organization. We've already celebrated our 100th anniversary, and God has wonderfully blessed our fellowship. In a meeting like this, I'm reminded of a story that I shared with a brethren of the Baptist Joint Committee of Public Affairs in Washington last fall. It has to do with one of your very gracious and distinguished Southern governors. He tells the story of one day being invited to a little town to speak at a patriotic celebration. And instead of inviting the Secretary of State and the other honorable officers of the state to go with him, he thought he'd rather go by himself driving his own automobile. And driving along the country road, he saw a little boy trudging by the roadside. He stopped the car, opened the car door, and invited the little fellow to ride into town with him. The little fellow was delighted, and as they came into town, the governor said to the little chap, he said, "I suppose you're anticipating this great celebration to hear the governor speak. And by the way," he said, "have you ever seen the governor?" He said, "No, never had seen the governor before." And the governor smiled, and as they came into the little town, the town folk recognized the governor, and they began to salute him. Flags began to wave, the band began to play. And then the governor remembered the little fellow, and he said, "Well, son," he said, "you know who the governor is now, don't you?" And the little fellow said, "Yep, it must be one of us." Well, I really believe that God considers Baptists as very important people. And we're very happy as the Baptist Fellowship to have the most cordial relations with the Southern Baptists. And we thank God that we can work together to herald forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just 12 years ago, we organized our own foreign missionary department. And during these 12 years, we've had the privilege of commissioning and appointing 110 missionaries in 6 fields of the world. The Southern Baptist Foreign Missionary Society has been very gracious in cooperating in assisting us to open up fields in South America. As a matter of record, our Foreign Secretary, Dr. John Wilcox, was at one time associated with your distinguished Dr. Gill Jr. as his associate in a pastor. So we do thank God that in the bonds of Christian love and service, we can pray together, we can serve together, and we can work together. A cordial welcome to Chicago. Our headquarters are located here on the north side. And if you do have any time, check the Chicago telephone directory for the Baptist General Conference of America. We'd be delighted to have you visit us. Thank you, Dr. Walsh.
Thank you, Dr. Tepper. We are happy to have you here. Among our most delightful fellowship hours have been with our American Baptist Convention. Dr. Reuben Nelson and Dr. Porter, unable to be here, the Executive Secretary and his associate, have sent to us tonight the honored professor, Dr. Thorwald Bender of the Northern Baptist Theological Seminary, representing the American Baptist Convention. Dr. Bender, we're happy to have you.
President Warren, members and friends of the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention, may God's richest blessings abound to you as once again, in annual session, you deliberate on your place in the work of God's kingdom. We, your brethren in Christ in the American Baptist Convention, rejoice with you in every manifestation of God's grace in your efforts to serve Jesus Christ, our common Lord and Savior. We congratulate you upon achieving another birthday as a corporate body of believers joined to promote the gospel of redemption among all peoples throughout the world. What a wonderful gospel is ours to proclaim. Ours is the good news of the deliverance from sin and evil and the establishment of the rule of God in the hearts of men and the affairs of nations. The complexities of our day demand the best we can produce in persistent dedication to our Lord's commission, in creative flexibility of procedure, and in humble evaluation of our plans, resources, abilities, and methods. We greet you not only as fellow believers in Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of men, but as fellow Baptists. As Baptists, we share a common heritage of faithful men who cherish the Scriptures as God's primary revelation of his redemptive work in Christ. As Baptists, we share the awesome opportunity and responsibility humbly and kindly to speak our convictions in the councils of all believers in Jesus Christ. As Baptists, we must continue to prove ourselves good stewards of the manifold grace of God as we meet the challenges of the economic, political, social, and religious problems in our own generation. As Baptists, we must persist in our clear and Christian insistence that soul liberty and human dignity are God's gifts to all men of all races. Permit me to suggest a word of scripture to you, writing to the Ephesians concerning the nurture and fruitfulness of the church. Paul states in the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, "But speaking truth in love, ye may grow up in him in all things, who is the head, even Christ." Growing up is a difficult process for boys and girls, for men and women, for churches and denominations. None of us can escape the disciplinary responsibility of growing up into Christ, the head of the church. As the American Baptist Convention meets in Philadelphia, and you meet here in Chicago, Let us pray and work together that through our respective counsels and discussions, speaking the truth in love, each shall enable and encourage the other to grow up into Christ, the head of the church. I thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. We now have Dr. Frank Warkey, Executive Secretary of the North American Baptist General Conference. Dr. Warkey, we are delighted to have you with us.
President Warren, messengers and friends of the Southern Baptist Convention, I consider it a great honor to extend greetings and best wishes to you on behalf of the North American Baptist General Conference. We praise God for Southern Baptists. There are many reasons for that. One of them is that Southern Baptists are an example to us in so many ways. We are inspired by your enthusiasm. We are grateful for your loyalty to the Bible. We appreciate your important evangelistic emphasis, your missionary mindedness, and perhaps the greatest inspiration to most of us is simply the fact that there are so many of you. Because that is certainly one of the things that always strikes me, since I represent one of the small Baptist groups, the North American Baptist General Conference, is the outgrowth of churches composed of German immigrants in the United States and Canada. We are only approximately 50,000 scattered throughout the United States and Canada, a few of our churches also in Southern Baptist territory. We feel, however, that God has given us a special task, even though we are few in number. We have, for instance, after this war again, witnessed the influx of many immigrants to the United States and Canada. And many of these immigrants were of German background. And we have sponsored the formation and furnished fellowship for 21 new churches composed entirely of immigrants of German background. Our people are also loyal to the Bible and missionary minded. Over the past 10 years now, our people have generally each year contributed per capita approximately $50 for our cooperative missionary program. We support approximately 60 foreign missionaries. I am grateful for this, that I have had the privilege through the Baptist World Alliance committees of learning to know many of the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I have always found that they treated me with courtesy and that they never looked upon me as small, simply because I represent a small Baptist group. And so we are grateful for Southern Baptists also because you have a big heart and you have a concern for all of the Baptists throughout the world, as is so evident through your participation in the Baptist World Alliance. And so we pray that God may multiply you, that God may bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Warren. We are grateful for your presence.
I'm sorry that our time is coming to a close for this item, but we do have three or four friends here from abroad. They have been before this convention before. I'm sorry we do not have time allotted for them to speak, but I do want Dr. Ann to introduce them.
Have them stand where they are.
There are many here who could introduce Dr. Lord, but none with greater joy than I regard him as a close friend. He was, as you know, once president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, editor of the Baptist Times, and the president of the Baptist World Alliance. Dr. F. Tommy Lord is here. And Mrs. Lord is with us. pair of visitors who have come even a longer way are Dr. and Mrs. Wilbur Jarvis from Australia. Dr. Jarvis was once the president of the Baptist Union of Australia. He has been a vice president of the Baptist World Alliance. He's well known in many parts of the world as an evangelist and a lecturer on evangelism. Dr. Jarvis and Mrs. Jarvis.
Thank you, Dr. Earn. We are happy to have these dear friends with us here tonight. This closing message, Mexican Baptist Convention wishes abundant blessings from God in your meeting. Libredo Ramos Lozano. Say again how happy we are to have these friends with us and how we rejoice. The unanimity concerning the basic things of God's kingdom that we share in. We praise the Lord for it and look to the future with great hope and courage. I now recognize Chairman of the Committee on Order of Business for just an explanation. Revision of the order of business.
Thank you, President. You that were here this morning understand the plight we found ourselves in and our time being consumed and other items that we were trying to get in tonight. So this is the suggested order from now on. We've had our order as printed till now. First, that we'll have a report from our denominational calendar. Albert McFarlane is chairman of that committee. If Dr. Louis Newton is here, we'd like to have also the report from the Baptist film. And then we allow a period of 15 minutes for miscellaneous business. And I trust, if it would please the audience, this convention, that we'll have no extension of time tonight, because we'll have another day for business tomorrow and also Friday. So I certainly suggest we'll not have an extension more than the 15 minutes for miscellaneous business. And then on with the regular printed program, with the exception of the fact that Mr. Howard Butt will bring us a 10-minute greeting from the Billy Graham campaign in New York City. We'll move the other items down as we come to them. I move, Brother President, that be the order for tonight.
Is there a second? Any discussion? Not as many as favor will indicate by saying aye. Any opposed will say no. It is so ordered. We proceed then to hear the report of the denominational calendar. Dr. McClellan.
Mr. President, the report of this committee is printed on page 292 of the Book of Reports. There should be one line inserted, and that is the Baptist Hour Sunday for May 18th. With this insertion, I move the adoption of the report.
A second? Any discussion? Many in favor of the adoption of the report will indicate it by saying aye. Any opposed would say no. If so ordered, we proceed. Hear the report from Baptist Film, Dr. Louis D. Newton. Anyone present with this report? Not we can't wait, brethren. We then proceed with miscellaneous business.
Dr. Bolden?
Believing that if the time has come when our characteristic Baptist doctrines are no longer considered worthy of being completely clarified when their meaning has come to be in doubt, then we have no real reason for maintaining our separate denominational existence. And thus we have no real answer against the advocates of
organic church union on the one hand, nor against the interdenominational fundamentalists on the other hand. Therefore, in order that we might clarify one of our most characteristic Baptist doctrines whose meaning has come to be in doubt, the following is offered as an amendment to the Constitution of this Convention, specifically as an addition to the present statement of Article 4 of the Constitution. This Convention does not claim that affiliation with this Convention is in any way necessary for a church to be a missionary Baptist church. Nor does this Convention claim that affiliation with any other Baptist body, whether district association or state convention, is in any way necessary for a church to be affiliated with this convention. Nor does this convention claim that a church's affiliation with this convention, as conceived by this convention, is in any degree of such a nature as would prevent a church that once has entered into affiliation with this convention from discontinuing that affiliation, should that church, for any reason whatsoever, decide to discontinue that affiliation. I move the adoption of this as the amendment to the Constitution by the President.
You understand this is the second reading of the amendment which was read last year. As many as motion is made that it be adopted, is there a second? I hear the second. Is there discussion? Dr. Gray?
Dr. President and brethren, I oppose the motion to amend the Constitution because Article 3 covers in a very few words what it takes here, 10, 12 lines to say. Article 3, Constitution, this convention shall consist of messengers who are members of missionary Baptist churches cooperating with the convention. It seems to me that's all we need to say. If we want a clarification of the exceptions and the qualifications and so on, we do not mean this, we do not mean that. You can have a list as long as you are of things that did not keep them from coming in. We're talking about things that they do to get in. Missionary Baptist churches cooperating with the convention. Those that do that qualify and get in. Now, under the rules that it is a substitute for Article 4, I beg leave to point out that it is not in relation to the authority of the convention. For Article 4, as it stands now, says, while independent and serving in its own sphere, the convention does not claim and will never attempt to exercise any authority over any other Baptist body, whether church, auxiliary organization, association, or convention. Now, if that isn't enough clarification, just last year in Kansas City at the Southern Baptist Convention, on page 55 of the annual, we reiterated a decision made in the Southern Baptist Convention in 1928 for two full pages. It goes on and spells this out. And in one paragraph of it, reading about the middle of it, that all Baptist general bodies or voluntary organizations established by individuals who wish to cooperate with some common end, and so on and so on and so on. And then it goes on to say, churches may seek to fulfill their obligation to extend Christ's kingdom by cooperating with these general organizations, but always on a purely voluntary basis and without surrendering any way or degree their right of self-determination. These associations, unions, or conventions vary greatly in form, in size, in purpose, in territorial extent, and in condition of membership, but they're all similar to churches in the fundamental principle of the organization life, and that each is independent of all others in its own work, free, fraternal, autonomous, self-determining in its sphere and activity. Therefore, Brother President and Brethren of the Convention, I believe that we should defeat this proposed amendment of our Constitution, Article 4, on the ground that all is covered, we don't need it. Any further discussion? Question has been called for.
We're now voting on the amendment to the Constitution, which has been read for the second time. Most of you are familiar with it, which has been offered by Brother Bowman. If you are in favor of that amendment, will you indicate it by saying aye? If you are opposed, will you say no? The amendment is lost. Next order.
Brother David, President Warren, and members of this convention, we need your help in North Carolina. For 15 years, we have been struggling and fighting to get an opportunity to vote on liquor as a state. Just recently, we presented 300,000 names on a petition to our state legislature, and that petition was given a very cold reception, and a few men went over in a corner and gave it the eye. Since we came to this convention, things have happened in North Carolina, and we believe the worm is turning. The Raleigh News and Observer sent three reporters to the Stillwater Raleigh Hotel. They found there a liquor lobbyist with a room rented in the name of one A.B. Carter. They found also that a representative of the Glenmore Distillery was providing the liquor, and free liquor was being given to the legislators. Those are just a few things. This is the front page coverage by that paper. Yesterday, free drinks for the state legislature in the Chicago Daily News. This is becoming national news, and therefore we believe is due to the attention of this convention, and I present this resolution. Whereas the Raleigh News and Observer of Raleigh, North Carolina, the second largest paper in that state, has revealed shameful and deplorable conditions regarding distribution of free liquor to state legislators in North Carolina by the liquor interest. And whereas these conditions reveal tremendous corruptive influences at work on members of the governing body of the state of North Carolina, and whereas the Reverend Gerald Prim, a Southern Baptist pastor of Raleigh, has been instrumental in revealing these corruptive and unchristian influences, we, the Southern Baptist Convention and session in Chicago on May 29, 1957, do hereby go on record as commending the Raleigh News and Observer and its reporters and photographers for their courageous work in revealing these conditions, and the Reverend Gerald Prim for his courageous courage, Christian courage, and crusading spirit as a Baptist pastor. And listen, please, we further recommend that pastors and other messengers from the state cooperating with this convention go back home and investigate corruptive influences being exerted on the members of their governing bodies by the liquor interest and organized crime, and courageously and fearlessly take action to make these deplorable conditions known and take action toward their correction. I would like for this resolution to be referred to our Committee on Resolutions. Thank you.
Resolution which goes according to the bylaws to the Committee on Resolutions. I recognize now Mr. Cliff Bennett.
Mr. President, fellow messengers, our object is to prevent a legal question arising, and in order to effectuate a proper identification of a cooperating Baptist church, we make this proposed amendment to the business and financial plan of the Southern Baptist Convention, paragraph 7, entitled Designated Gift, in accord with the provisions concerning amendments found in paragraph 18, page 341, Book of Reports, 1957, of said convention, requiring two-thirds of the messengers present and voting at any time to alter said business and financial plan except on the last day of the convention. The purpose, one, is to distinguish between a church which is a contributor to an agency of the convention, and two, a member church which is a bona fide contributor to the convention's work. To limit the convention with respect to the receipt of designated gifts from member churches to those churches only which express their friendly cooperation with this convention by their sympathy with its purposes and work by bona fide contribution to the work of the convention through the cooperative program within the fiscal year prior to said designation. The proposal is as follows, that Article 7 of the business and financial plan entitled Designated Gift, found on page 339 of the Book of Reports, be altered and amended to read as follows. The convention binds itself and its agents faithfully to apply and use all such gifts as designated by the donor, provided that in the case of member churches of this convention, the designated gift must be preceded by a bona fide contribution to the work of this convention through its cooperative program during the fiscal year of said designated gift. I move that this suggested amendment be to Article 7 of the Business and Financial Plan entitled Designated Gift be referred to the Executive Committee of this convention for study and report at the next meeting of the convention in Houston, Texas. The second.
Many as favor referring this to the Executive Committee. Will you indicate it by saying aye? Any opposed will say no. I believe the ayes have it, unless you question it.
Well, John Raymond.
Mr. President, I have a resolution to be referred to the Resolutions Committee. Whereas our brother, Billy Graham, is now engaged in a great evangelistic crusade in New York City, and whereas a great door and effectual has opened to him, and there are many adversaries, be it resolved that the Southern Baptist Convention send fraternal greetings to him, and be it further resolved that the convention in session engage in a period of prayer asking God's continued blessing on his ministry.
It was automatically to the Committee on Resolutions. Are there other items of business to be considered? If not, then...
Mr. President, members of the convention, I move that the word Southern be deleted from Article 1 of the Constitution and substituted therefore the word worldwide. If this amendment should pass, the Executive Committee should be authorized to change the charter to conform to the new name. The force of the motion, which will be considered in the next convention in Houston, Texas, will make the name of our convention the Worldwide Baptist Convention.
Here is a motion, which would be the first reading of an amendment to be considered finality next year. Is there a second? Question of consideration is raised.
I raise the question of consideration on this point. We know it involved endless discussion during the year in the Baptist papers, and I just don't believe it's clear of the mind to take such a step as that, such a matter as this, even to consider. I think under parliamentary law, you could put the vote as to whether a question of consideration would stand or not. And if you don't want to consider it, we'll end it right here. If the deal won't lay it open for a year, then the brother will be within his rights, and it'll be come up next year as consideration for constitutional amendment. So the question of consideration, I call it.
Question of consideration is called for. Question of consideration preceded any motion to table. Those favoring the consideration of it. You want it explained? It simply means if you vote yes or aye, we will consider it as it has been presented here tonight. If you vote no, the matter is dropped entirely. As many as favor the consideration of this matter will say aye. As many as are opposed will say no. Matter is summarily dropped. Time for our miscellaneous business is up. I recognize our Secretary Burton for just an announcement.
Brother President,
The Committee on Time, Place, and Preacher will meet at 8 o'clock in 15 minutes to the rear of the platform.
We have been contemplating a picture throughout the convention. I thought it was coming then, but don't give up. You may have your picture made yet. This time, we'll hear from Mr. Capps regarding special music.
One or two statements. We're deeply grateful to the Baldwin Piano and Organ Company for supplying the instruments that we have here in our convention. They have done it free gratis at considerable expense, and they have placed them at our disposal in a very gracious way. A wonderful instrument, and we want to express our gratitude to the Baldwin Company for that. Let me urge you to be present early for the services in order that you might join in the congregational singing. We have it. We are happy tonight to have the Baptist Hour Choir, which has the largest sustaining program of 450 stations of any network in the world. Many of you here each week. This group is directed by R. Paul Green, and they will present at this time a group of numbers.